Lord, we thank you that your presence is in the house tonight, God. And just as Pastor Drew says on Sundays, just because the music ends doesn't mean that worship has ended. Lord, I ask that you anoint me and that I do a good job. And that the word I believe that you have given me will minister to others like it has ministered to me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake a hand. Kiss a baby. If it's your baby, if it's someone else's baby, it's too close to Christmas, y'all. Let's don't share those kind of germs, all right? Who is ready for Christmas? Yeah. I'm ready for Christmas to be over. Who's ready for it to be over? All right. You know, when I was putting this service together, me and Emily Kimball were putting this service together. She said, who do you want to have speak? So we need someone that can speak for about 20 minutes. And I said, let me pray about it. And if you know me, some of you are probably shocked that I'm the one speaking because, for one, I don't speak very often. But then, two, I'm not really the biggest Christmas guy. In fact, most people have given me the nickname Grinch. And so I was thinking about three different people in our church that I really thought could do a good job. And with each one, I really felt like the Holy Spirit said, no. And I said, okay, Lord, well then, who? And he said, you. And I said, okay. And so because of that, I started to do some researching on some things because we wanted, our vision for tonight was hope. And so, yeah, that's where we're going to go with tonight. This message is on hope. But we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So deferred in Hebrew means meshach, deferred, to push aside or delay. So in other words, hope delayed makes the heart sick. So I'm going to give you a little story. About 2 years ago this time, our youngest, Judah, was born. And we were sitting there at home. And while we were there, we got a phone call from a doctor about our oldest. And that he had been diagnosed with autism. That wrecked me. And we begin to pray, and we have been given words from different people that are going to be, he's going to be healed. And that sounds so good. And I hold on to that, but hope delayed makes the heart sick. Have you ever just hoped for something, prayed for something, someone has given you a word? Someone has told you that something is going to happen, and you've had to hold on to that, and you've had to hold on to it, and you've had to hold on to it, and you've had to hold on to it, and you've had to hold on to it. And 10 years later, you're still holding on to it. 20 years later, all right, Lord, all right, are you going to show up? I mean, come on, right? Sometimes it's hard to hope. But I wonder if Israel experienced any of this, specifically after Isaiah chapter 9. Chapter 9, by some theologians, has been called an oracle of salvation. It is written, according to some scholars, as a thanksgiving hymn with the emphasis on God's future action and not his past achievements. The fact no praise of God is mentioned in this chapter doesn't imply an emphasis on God's future actions. Verse 1 opens with the announcement of a royal birth. Isaiah offers hope for Israel in the future Messiah. The future king offers hope for Israel. The prophet, however, also asserts Israel will remain in the current state of pride and arrogance until that time arrives, and trials will await. The Lord of hosts will not look the other way and will ultimately continue in his zeal. So this is a really popular chapter, right? We love this part. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. And that sounds awesome, and we celebrate that. But can I tell you, like, chapter 8, and then when you get past this little portion of scripture, things get really dark. Like, when God is giving Isaiah this spiritual download, just as my brain sometimes how it works, God is going, do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? Which one do you want first? And me would have went, I want the bad news first. And God was like, no, I'm going to give you the good news. The Messiah is coming. But because of your pride and your disobedience, there's going to be a lot of bad things that happen. In fact, the last verse in the chapter says, but even then the Lord's anger will not be satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. Now, we heard Sunday, Pastor Drew preached an awesome message on Sunday. But one of the points he made was, when Isaiah wrote this, it's 700 years. So, like, my thought is, like, how many generations are sitting there going, the Messiah's coming, y'all. The Messiah's coming, the Wonderful Counselor, the King, he's coming. And how many times through the generations did someone just go, yeah, okay. Sure he is, because they lost hope. But 700 years later, hope arrives. And not only does hope arrive, but hope has a name. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Hope has a name, y'all. Names are powerful. Names are powerful. My boys, their names are Levi and Judah. Levi means joined in harmony. Judah means praise. The name of Jesus means God saves, or Savior. God saves, or Savior. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hope has a name. Hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. That's why when we pray in the name of Jesus. Demons tremble. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Healing comes through the name of Jesus. But another beautiful thing about hope. Hope has a name. But also hope is coming again. Hope is coming again. John chapter 14, verse 3. This is Jesus. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." But then in verses 16 through 18, it's like Jesus knows something, right? He's like, "Listen, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because either it sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So unlike the people of Israel during Isaiah's day, when Jesus says, "I'm leaving and I'm coming back, but before I leave, the veil's going to be torn and the Holy Spirit is going to be let out. I'm going to leave a comforter." Can I tell you today that if you are losing hope, there is a comforter that he has provided that will be with you. When he said it was finished and the veil torn, I got a crazy imagination sometimes, but I think sometimes like the Holy Spirit may have been pacing for a long time behind a veil going, "Okay, is it time? Is it time? Is it now? Now?" And when he said it's finished and the veil torn, Holy Spirit walked out and began to spread. In the book of Acts, we see it. We see it in the book of Acts. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 15. "According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." See, we celebrate Christmas because of the birth. But I'm learning that I don't need to celebrate it just because of the birth, but because of the death that comes and the resurrection that comes after that and the Holy Spirit that was brought upon all flesh, that my hope can be in the one who's coming back. And the difference between us and Israel is they didn't have that comforter. They were told, "He's coming." Well, guess what? We've been told that too. It's been over 2,000 years that we've been told he's coming. And we can choose to hope in him, to hope in Jesus, or we can choose a lot of other things to put our hope in. And I think that's the problem, is we've lost where we need to put our hope. Some of us have put our hope in religion. We've put our hope in, if I can just make it to church on Sunday, if I can just make it to church on Sunday, if I can get into the church on Sunday and the worship team sings my song or Pastor Drew gets up and speaks the word, then I know I can make it. Can I tell you, and I say this in love, if that is our mentality, we're no better than Saul saying, "David, come play for me, come sing for me, help me regain something." We're no better. We're no better than that. So we have to put our hope in Jesus because he's the only one who can save. There's another part to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It starts with, "Hope delayed makes the heart sick." But then it says, "But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." The tree of life represents the fullness of eternal life that God wishes to lavish on humanity, an unbroken fellowship with God. But because of sin in the garden, we were separated. But hope is coming again. But hope is coming again. Revelations 22, verses 1 through 3. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. My hope cannot be in the outcome of my son's healing. Your hope cannot be in the outcome of whatever that is for you. Because the Lord may answer that prayer the way you want him to, but he may not. But if he does, then what? There'll be another season. There'll be something else that happens. And you'll still be lost going, where? You know, they did in the 60s. Is there any dog lovers in the house? Okay, well, forgive me now, but just remember, this was in the 60s. But they did.
Do what?
They did. The scientists did some testing on some dogs, right? And they took these dogs, and they took a group of them, and they would put them in a cage. And while they were in the cage was had electricity set up to it. And it was the 60s, y'all. Things were crazy back then, from what I was told, right? But they would put these dogs in the cage, and as the cage, every now and then, or they would blow a whistle. I'm sorry, the scientists would blow a whistle, and then they would shock the dog. And they would do this multiple times, where they would blow a whistle and then shock the dog. Blow the whistle, shock the dog. Until eventually they would blow the whistle and the dog would just lay down. They wouldn't have to shock the dog anymore. They would just blow the whistle. So then they took those dogs and they put them in a different cage. And this was a little bigger cage. And on one side of the cage had been connected to electricity. And there was a small barrier to where the dogs could jump over the barrier onto another side of the cage that they wouldn't be shocked. And they took these dogs that they had used the whistle and they would be shocked. And they put them on the side with the electric that had been connected to electricity. And they would blow the whistle and the dog would just lay there. Literally, all the dog had to do was jump across the barrier. But the dog would just lay there and take the shock. So then they got another group of dogs who had not been trained with this whistle. And they put them on the side that had been set with electricity. And they would go to shock the dog, and the dog would jump over the barrier. And they called it learned hopelessness. These dogs learned to lose hope. They learned helplessness, learned hopelessness. They learned to lose hope. They accepted their fate, even though hope was only a step away. I think some of us in here, we have gotten so used to being on the one side of the cage that we've allowed that to become our identity. That our hope is no longer in Jesus. This is just my fate. I'm always going to struggle with this. My dad was abusive. My grandfather was abusive. I'm just going to be abusive. I'm just going to have anger. I'm going to have bitterness. The Lord doesn't hear my prayers anymore. He doesn't really care. What's the point of trying? Because it's just going to end in failure. Y'all, we got to do better. Our hope cannot be in an outcome, but it has to be in Jesus. We're going to get ready to sing here in a minute, Silent Night. But let me just, before we do that, like, the world is depending on us to have our hope in Jesus. Because we're the ones who share the gospel. We share the word. So if we're struggling to find what our hope is in, that person at your work, you may be the only Jesus they see. I would say every head bowed, every eye closed, but I'm not going to do that because I feel like we're a family. If you're here tonight, you're family. And families celebrate together. But families struggle together too. So I'm going to ask you, if you have struggled with feeling like you're in a hopeless situation or that you're in a hopeless season or God hasn't answered the prayer. I know this is Christmas Eve and we came dressed up and we sang some Christmas songs and I love it all. I love it all. The Grinch loves it. My heart grew a few times tonight. But if you found that you would be honest enough to raise your hand and say, I haven't been putting my hope in Jesus. So if you'd raise your hand. Can we pray for these people? Lord. God, we thank you for the hands of these people that were brave enough to raise their hand, Lord. God, that you will help their situation, God, that they will experience you in a whole new way, God. That they will find their identity in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a couple guys getting ready to light some candles, talking about carols. We're going to sing Silent Night. And that's how we're going to end the night is with Silent Night. The song lyrics were originally written in German just after a war by a young Austrian priest named Joseph Moore. In the fall of 1816, Moore's congregation in the town of, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, Maria Farr, I'm not German, I don't get this, was reeling. 12 years of war had decimated the country's political and social infrastructure. Meanwhile, the previous year, one historian would later dub the year without a summer had been catastrophically cold. The eruption of Indonesia's Mount Tambora in 1815 had caused widespread climate change throughout Europe. Volcanic ash in the atmosphere caused almost continuous storms, even snow, in the midst of summer. Crops failed, and there was widespread famine. Moore's congregation was poverty-stricken, hungry, and traumatized, so he crafted a set of 6 poetic verses to convey hope that there was still a God who cared. In some traditions, candles also signify hope. They signify a light in a dark, dark night. So I want you to think of that light as, listen, I don't think it's any surprise, or this will be no shock to no one, but our world is in rough, rough shape. We have, just in our own country, which is the freest country, we have children wanting to mutilate themselves. We have brother fighting against brother. We have families right now that I was on the phone with someone just yesterday that, I'm just going to be real, just because of the election, a family has been torn apart where the family won't celebrate Christmas this year because the wrong person was elected, right? Like the person said that to their parents. They told their parents, I disown you. I disown you as my parents because you're the reason that Trump is in office. Our world is in rough shape, y'all. And it can feel like a hopeless situation. But we have the hope within us. And that's what these candles for me tonight. That's what these candles show. That's what it represents. It's like the old song that we used to sing as kids, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Anybody remember that one? Man, I didn't understand that as a kid, but as I've gotten older, I'm like, man, that actually, that kid's song holds a lot of weight. It holds a lot of weight. So I've asked Sarah if she would lead us in Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Above. Jesus embraces mankind. Silent night, holy night, mindful of mankind's plight, the Lord. Jesus, God's promise for peace.
Father, we are grateful for the privilege that it is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to reflect upon this beautiful moment when love became more real than we could have ever imagined or even asked for. Father, I pray and ask for your blessings over every family, every man, every woman, every child, that this season would be one of joy, of peace, and prosperity. And that, Father, as that we look forward to 2025, we do not know what is in store for us, but we know and we trust that you are already there, and our faith is in you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 God bless you, Lifehouse. Merry Christmas. We'll see you here January 5th at 10 a.m. God bless you.